Oh, okay, so we'll just get started. Something interesting that connects to this past week's parasha and to this upcoming week's parasha, but really something that we should think about all the time, especially in the situation we find ourselves right now in current Jewish history events. It's interesting. We know that Yetzias Mitzrayim is the epitome of celebration. Every day we reflect it in Kriyat Shema, and we have mitzvahs that always reflect Yetzias Mitzrayim. And on Pesach we focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it is, and it should be clearly deemed a very joyous and reason for celebration. But if we stop and think about it for a second, Rashi told us on last week's parasha, based on the Medrash, and it's repeated again in this week's parasha, that before Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim during Makas Choshech, 4/5 of the Jewish people were killed. Now you don't need to be an expert mathematician to know that's 80%. I mean, before Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, the celebration of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a massive Holocaust. 80% of the Jewish people were killed. Only a mere 20% of the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. That's what it says in the pasuk in this week's parasha. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael. Only 4/5 left. Only 1/5 of the Jewish people left because the rest of the 4/5 died in Mitzrayim. So now, with that backdrop, how are we supposed to enjoy, celebrate, be festive about Yetzias Mitzrayim? It was coming after a Holocaust. 80% of the Jewish population died. So this is something that struck me really this week. And the answer is found in Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's commentary on the parasha. And this I used a lot during the early stages of COVID, and maybe others have also found great chizuk in it. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, he says he doesn't understand why Hashem did it that way. But says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, see from here that in order for Klal Yisrael to experience a geula, there needs to be a Holocaust. For whatever reason, not our job to understand why. Happens to be Rashi does tell us why those people died, but I'm not getting into that now because then it gets into a sticky conversation of why people died in the Holocaust, and I'm not here to understand why Hashem killed wonderful Jews. But the point is, says Rabbi Yaakov, that in order for Klal Yisrael to get to a geula, they need to have a terrible, terrible loss. And Rabbi Yaakov himself writes, he found tremendous chizuk in this because he lived through and post the Holocaust. He was saved. We spoke about in the past why Rabbi Yaakov thought he was zeichet to be saved, and why the Sam Rebbe thought he was zeichet to be saved, the whole conversation between the two of them once. But at the end of the day, Rabbi Yaakov was saved. But Rabbi Yaakov understood what the Holocaust meant. So he said he found chizuk in the Holocaust. He says it must mean we're that much closer to the geula. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu would only do something on that level of tzaris if we're getting closer to the geula. So if that's true, so then maybe we have a little bit of an understanding that in order to experience geula, we need to have suffering. So that's good. But to me, it doesn't answer the whole question. The shaila is still why. So I think the answer is also found in last week's parsha. Medrash tells us that when Klal Yisrael was mitzvah to put the dam on the doorpost and on top of the post and the two doorposts, why? So the Mechilta writes to remind us of the dam of the Akedas Yitzchak, to remind Hashem. When Hashem came to the Jewish home, that's the office is also off, I guess, this week.
Yeah,
I sent them my email. I sent them my email on time at I guess they're on vacation. In any case, the Medrash writes that when Hashem jumped on the homes, he saw a house with dam and he said, "Oh, I'm not going here." Why? Zeichet to the dam of Akedas Yitzchak. What does that mean, the dam of Akedas Yitzchak? There was no dam of Akedas Yitzchak. And why Akedas Yitzchak? Why is it not Akedas Avraham Avinu? So the pshat in the Medrash is that Yitzchak had a much more of a bigger nesoyin than Avraham Avinu. Why? Avraham Avinu was told directly by Hashem, go do it. That's what we call today's Perish of Iksav. It says it in the books. It's explicit. Yitzchak had Torah Shabbat Peh. Avraham told Yitzchak, this is what Hashem wants. Most of us would have said, oh, prove it to me. Maybe that's not what Hashem wants. Maybe you're thinking that's what Hashem wants. Yitzchak's emunah was much more significant than Avram's, because Yitzchak had to really trust 100% in what Avram Avinu said is what Hashem said. But what Yitzchak Avinu did was really mesiras nefesh. When a person goes to Yitzchak Avinu, walked to his death. He was 37 years old. He was no slouch. He was no baby. He was walking with his father, presumably to his own death. Why? Because he was told that's what Hashem wants. So what Yitzchak embodied in the Akedah was mesiras nefesh. That mesiras nefesh is what gets us out of geula. It gets us out of galus. Why? Because when the Medrash writes that when Bnei Yisrael took the sheep, it was really crazy because the Mitzrim would have killed us for it because that was their god. It was mesiras nefesh. Whenever a Jew is mesiras nefesh, the geula is close. So I was thinking maybe that's the pshat. When Klal Yisrael experiences loss, whatever the loss may be, it takes a lot of mesiras nefesh not to doubt a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you hear of young people dying, you hear what happened in Eretz Yisrael over Shabbos, it creates questions in your mind. Why, Hashem? Why are you doing this? Why are you so unfair? Why are you so unjust? That's when the mesiras nefesh kicks in. The person says, no, Hashem, I'm not going to think like that. I'm not going to try to understand you. I'm not going to try to doubt you. I'm not going to try to say that you're wrong, you're evil, you're all this and the other. That's our version of mesiras nefesh today. And then, taka, the more mesiras nefesh we are, the closer we get to the geula. So maybe that's what Rabbi Yaakov meant when he said you have to have chorban, because it's not just on the chorban for the sake of chorban. It's the mesiras nefesh that comes along with each chorban. Every time there's suffering, there's an element of the mesiras nefesh where we say to ourselves, Hashem, I'm not going to doubt you. I'm not going to love you any less. I'm not going to think you're not a perfect God because you killed and you allowed innocent people to be murdered and you allowed innocent people to die and you allow babies to die and you allow young couples. I'm not going to do that. And it's not easy because that's our natural tendency is to doubt, to question, to have tainus. And it's not easy. It's not easy at all because the tzaris keep on piling up in Klai. So everywhere you turn, there's tzaris. It's terrible. Different forms and young people are dying. It's mamish. It's a very sad and scary world we live in. So what's the yetzer? The yetzer is we have to be mechazik our mesiras nefesh. The more we are mechazik our mesiras nefesh, the more we're going to be zeicher that this is taka. Like Rabbi Yaakov said, each step takes us a little bit closer to the ultimate geula. Our learning on Sunday mornings for some time will be dedicated to Ilan Ishmas Yosef Akiva Ben Yisrael Ber. If everyone remembers, Joe Judenberg was an elderly man, an older man who used to join us for the share in person, and then he switched to Zoom. He was nifter about a week and a half ago. He was, I must say, I look at it as a chassaron that I didn't get to know him better. I didn't get to schmooze with him more. He was a fascinating yid. He came over as a young child from Paris with his parents. They got him in here, and he ended up going to day school just because it had longer hours than public school, not because his parents were necessarily from him. They were not. But because day school was longer, it gave his parents more time to work during the day. So he ended up going to a school, and he ended up progressing beautifully. And by the time he came to our share, I thought he must have learned many, many years in yeshiva. He was what we'd call a seasoned Talmud Chacham, in my opinion. But he spent his years and his time learning and going to shurim, high-level shurim. He spent a lot of time learning, and he was taka. A very, very special, sweet yid. I always felt in the shurim, whenever there used to be back and forth argument, I always felt he was trying to defend me. I always felt like he was like the last opinion because he was the oldest in the room. Whatever he said, he was always trying to defend my outlook on the sugya. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was just self-absorbed, but I always felt that he was trying to be miyashiv whatever I had to say to make shalom in the room. So he was, I feel bad because there are many weeks when he was on Zoom and the Zoom didn't work or the Zoom had issues and he didn't get to join us in learning. So I have to ask him mechila for that. For all the times that Zoom didn't work and he wasn't able to join us, but he was taka a very chosh of a person. He lived his life a very special way. He was very dedicated to learning to different meisters. He helped build shuls here in the neighborhood, different organizations. And Amit Hashem, our learning on Sunday morning should be a lischos for him. I know there are many emails sent out over the last couple of days about the format of the show. I guess everyone just got scared they didn't show up. Okay, fine.
Thank you, Michael.
I guess everyone just got scared. They were afraid that they're going to ask a question. You're going to throw them out. Okay,
so there's almost as many people on Zoom today.
Right, so they figured Zoom is safer. But the kitzer hadvarim, the back and forth was basically that we're not trying to change the format of the share to take away. We're just trying to make it more enjoyable for all parties, mainly for those in person, a little bit for those online as well. So we're trying just to cut back on the side conversation. Everyone can ask questions back and forth is fine. But when it turns into a little bit of a chabura style, then people get a little less interested. So we're going to try to limit to the more one-on-one questions instead of one-on-five and team and tag teaming type of style of learning. But again, no one's not allowed to ask questions. This is not a lecture. This is not that style of learning. I want to wish a special mazel tov to Stewie and his family on last week's chasen of their daughter. Sorry I wasn't able to make it. I sent representatives. I sent my in-laws to be there. They gave me a full report of how everything went. Baruch Hashem, I heard it was beautiful. I heard it was fantastic. I'm sorry I couldn't be there, but we wish you a very, very big mazel tov to the new couple and to the entire mishpacha. Your son went back already?
My son is gone back today.
I would have happened to give a share. No time. Okay. We got to work that out better next time he comes. We got to work it next time they come. He can say a share here for the Eilam. Okay. If we're holding over here, we had a little break. We're holding over here in the sugya of we're in the middle of a tesefta with a sefri that discusses a new type of mitzvah. In the mitzvah of Limata Moisim Esbenechem, the Torah tells us we have a mitzvah to teach us on Torah. So the Sifra and the Tesefta both threw in Vilum the Lashon Kodesh. You have to teach your son Hebrew. And we were tumbling last week why our Gemara doesn't seem to acknowledge that chiv. Our Gemara, when it talks about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, nowhere does it acknowledge any place that you have a mitzvah also to teach him Limata Kodesh. So we left off over here that the Satmar Rebbe discusses this heavily. So the Satmar Rebbe pointed out that there's two comments. There's a Sefri and a Tesefta. And the Satmar Rebbe wants to draw a distinction between the Sefri and the Tesefta. So take a look over here on the page that says page 2, source number 12. So on the Vial Moshe, number 12, the Divrei Yoel, the Satmar Rebbe writes like this. Says the Sam Rebbe, I think there's a difference between the Sefer and the Tosefta, although they both bring down the idea that you're supposed to teach us on Lashon HaKodesh. Why? Shebe Sefri Makdem Lashon HaKodesh. He says, if you look in the Sefri, even before teaching Torah, you know what it says? Teach us on Lashon HaKodesh, and then teach him Torah. Why? The Lashita Soi Shehu Dei Raisa. Says the Sam Rebbe, because the Sefri Taka holds it's a Din Dei Raisa. K'moy Limud HaTorah HaKodesh, just like teaching Torah. Why? The Tzarech Loimer L'dayta, he holds, Shechayva HaTorah HaKadosh Lomad HaLashem B'Shvil HaVonas HaTorah. Because if you don't understand Hebrew, you're not going to be able to learn Torah. Therefore, before you even open up a Chumash, before you even start learning Kiva Egers, you got to learn Hebrew. Just like no one's going to start learning Torah before they learn Aleph Beis. So therefore, says the Sama Rebbe, learning Hebrew is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and therefore part of the father's obligation. L'chein Kasu L'Agdima, that's why the Sefri writes it first. This way you'll learn, you'll know Hebrew, you'll be much better at what you do. You'll understand the Chumash much better if you actually understand Hebrew. That's the Sefri. But, says the Sefer Rebbe, Avodas HaTosefta, if you go back to that Tosefta that we started off with, the Tosefta and Chagiga, there it says, learn Torah, and then it says, teach him Hebrew. Why is it out of order from the Sefri? Says the Sefer Rebbe, Avodas HaTosefta, Shedina Torah, Eino Bechlam Mitzvah Sa'av Al HaBen. He thinks, no, the Tosefta holds, there's no mitzvah deraisa to teach his son Hebrew. V'lo chayvosa HaTorah HaKadosha El Olam De Torah. No, all you got to teach your son is Torah. But, Bevad Ashit Sarek L'Haktim Liman HaTorah. Avad HaTorah goes first. Okay, good. So now why do I have to teach him Hebrew at all? U'masha mitzuv v'mitzvei soifim l'cham choy, gam b'libin aloshen, zeu asher mili kreisa b'teirah. Zeu achash mili kreisa b'teirah. Says the Sama Rebbe, after the kid is already somewhat full with Torah, then you teach him Hebrew to make it easier, to make it better, to make it more efficient. But he says it's not part and parcel of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and that's why it's not first, but rather second. So therefore, says the Sama Rebbe, even in that camp, that holds there is an inyan to teach his son Lashon HaKodesh, there's two different versions. There's one version that says it starts up before the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and that would mean it's Zeri Raisa. And then the second thought is, no, it's after he's already somewhat familiar with the Torah, now you want to make sure he can learn every piece, and he could, like we saw last week, 2 weeks ago, he should be able to recite every part of the Chumash in Hebrew, then you teach him Lashon HaKodesh. But it's a secondary limud, not a primary limud. That's all fine and dandy in the Sefri and in the Tosefta. Oh, but we have a Gemara. We have two Gemaras. A Gemara in Brachas. I'm sorry, a Gemara in Sukkah and a Gemara in Kedushin both never once mentioned the notion that you have to teach your son Hebrew. Why is that? So the Torah Tamima last 2 weeks ago told us a bomb chiddush. The Torah Tamima said, no, it's true also. Really, the Gemara also holds you have to teach your son Hebrew. It just left it out. And the Sama Rebbe said, nothing doing. What are you talking about? If the Gemara left it out, the Gemara left it out. Don't tell me because the Gemara left it out, it means it's still supposed to be true. So the Sama Rebbe argued adamantly on that taina of the Torah Tamim. So, but what do you do with the fact that the Gemara doesn't break it down? So listen to the Sama Rebbe, number 13. Zok the Sama Rebbe Achap. He says, D'ula yesh lehoye lechalik, b'zeh. D'koydim takonis yeshu ben gamlo. Lo b'li neder si barichos des sugyo v'yeshu ben gamlo. Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara tells us that yeshu ben gamlo is an amazing person. Why was he an amazing person? Because he instituted that every city and every town should have a yeshiva. So that's what the Gemara says. Says the Sam Rebbe the following chiddush. Before they had yeshivas in every single town, so how was the structure of learning done? The Sam Rebbe says the way it was done was, my father learned with their sons. He says it's partial that the father didn't spend 6 hours a day sitting learning with the son. He says because of Tirdas Abayis, I would say because the father would kill himself. But in any case, try learning with your kid for 6-7 hours a day, you're going to go crazy. It's not healthy. That's why most parents don't learn with their kids. That's not always so healthy. It's not healthy. So Zok the Sama Rebbe, the father had to work also. Right? So the father had to work. So how many hours could he have possibly given to his son? So he writes, the Gemara says, in Ervin, Tayr is not given to the people that are busy with business. The son would have to learn most of the day by himself. So the father would give him, like, you know, a to-do sheet, you know, prepare the next three parashas, and during my lunch break, I'll come back and I'll fill you in on what you were supposed to learn. So it says the Sama Rebbe very geshmak. The father showed him how to learn. Im kein, im lo yehoyim meivin haloshin shebemirku b'mishna lo yelam metzias lovel deidias ateir. What are you going to do? You're going to give the kid a book. Say, prepare for me the next five chapters. The kid says his book's in Hebrew. What am I going to do with this? The father can't sit there and read through him every pasuk and make him sheets like the rabbi make today. That's what the yeshivas do. But when there was the father with the son, the father said, listen, prepare the sugya. Well, prepare the sugya. I don't know how to read. They ever said this, I'm Rebbe, before there were yeshivas, that there was no way the kid could learn anything with such, we'll call it handicapped skills. Why? Because the kid didn't know a word of Hebrew. If you don't know a word of Hebrew, you can't prepare something with a limited time without a Rebbe standing over you. That's why learning Hebrew was essential. Because if you didn't teach the kid Hebrew, he'd be lost on his own. Right? You know, what's the famous line? You teach someone how to fish, he can eat for a lifetime, right? So if you teach him how to read Hebrew, so he can learn for a long time. If you just you tell him one pasuk, well, what's he going to do after that? If it says the Samar Rebbe, that's why before Rabbi Shulman Gamla came to town, teaching his son was essential. But after the institution of yeshivas, we pay rabbeim schar b'teilo. She's asking matin noikers b'chol ayoyim that she be busy with the kids all day. And we teach the rest. Says the Samar Rebbe, but now why do I have to teach my kid Hebrew? He's going to go to yeshiva. His rebbe is going to give him a booklet with translation. His rebbe is going to sit over with him and tell him every single word, every translation, every meaning, every word. So why do I have to bother teaching him? Teaching him that he'll get the help picked it up in yeshiva. Im kein efshe, so therefore says the Samar Rebbe very geshmak. Shasifri mayri meikra din kaidim atakana. The din of the sifri that you have to teach your son Torah was true when before we had yeshivas. Kishav malam de baatzma. Va'oz avi yechiv balimin halosh mishalimin atayru. She efshe b'din achet. Then erach rami. Then you needed to do it. Avol b'shas mayri achra atakana. But the Gemara is talking about after Rabbi Shulman Gamla instituted yeshivas, and therefore that's why you don't have to do it. The problem I have with the Samar Rebbe's chat is we're playing around with derisas over here. You're telling me that a din that says in the Torah only applied for a certain point in history and then it changed. That's very risky. Bishlamah would be a din to Rabbanan. Okay, you'll tell me Rabbanan made a takana be'ez tzarech, and now when the tzarech goes away, the takana goes away. But according to the Sifri, it's a din derisa. Part of the Torah said every father, the Torah says the Torah only meant it during that time. It's a big chiddush to say a din derisa only applies to a certain situation based on the situation. That's a big chiddush. But the Samar Rebbe has another problem. Says the Samar Rebbe, this doesn't work out historically. Yeah. What's the Samar Rebbe's whole chap? The Sifri that said you have to teach your son Torah, that teaches son Hebrew, that's talking about before Rabbi Shulman Gamla came to town. Our Gemara is after Rabbi Shulman Gamla came to town. Well, when did Rabbi Shulman Gamla live? Says the Samar Rebbe, number 14, Rabbi Shulman Gamla lived during the second Mesa Migdash. This is Rishu Megamlo lived during Bayi Sheni. One second, he lived during Bayi Sheni. Now it's impossible to say that the Sifri was before the Takana. Why? Because who wrote the Sifri? Sharistam Sifri, who Rashbi said the Samar Rebbe. Your average Sifri is Rishu Meichoy. When did Rishu Meichoy live? Shaya Acher Chorban. He lived after the Chorban. So, fact is, Samar Rebbe, we got a historical problem over here. What are you telling me? That the Sifri that said you have to teach your son Torah was before Rabbi Shulman Gamla came onto the scene. But after Rabbi Shulman Gamla came onto the scene, you don't have to teach your son Hebrew. But it doesn't work out. Rabbi Shulman Gamla lived before Rashbi. He lived before the Sifri. So, it doesn't work out. So, says the Samar Rebbe, Achab. Achab b'ritvo yuma mei vishita she'ein ze oise Rabbi Shulman Gamla. No, there's a ritvo in Baba Basra that says no. That the Rishu Ben Gamlo that made the Takana was not the same Rishu Ben Gamlo who lived during Bayi Sheni. Elo Achar Sheshmoikin, someone with the same name. Then Kin Efsha Shahoye Bizman Mu'ukha. Of Egishmak. Said the Samar Rebbe, no, there were two Rishu Ben Gamlos. So it could be the Rishu Ben Gamlo that the Gemara and Baba Basra says lived during Bayi Sheni was not the same Rishu Ben Gamlo made the Takana. The Rishu Ben Gamlo made the Takana, Taka lived after Rashbi, after Rishu Ben Yechoy, and that's when he opened up yeshivas. But the Sifri was before that, and everything works out nicely. So tiny is the Samar Rebbe. Okay. Now, let's go back to the Torah Tamimah for a second. The Torah Tamimah writes, he says, Ubenegei l'drasha shel fanenu, this drasha of the Sifri and the Tesefta, heirano sham plia al ha-paiskim. He says it's a pella on the paiskim, sheshmitu ha the Sifri v'tesefta b'chi of lima lashon ha-kodesh. In fact, the Torah Tamimah, how is it that everyone left this out? It's a Sifri, it's a Tesefta. How could everyone omitted this from the Piskei Halacha? V'temanu b'yoyser al ha-Rambam. He says, I'm even more troubled by the Rambam.
Every Sifri and Tesefta we put into
our lives. Well, we're going to see in a second. He says, why? Don't try to tell me that the Rambam thought was only an Asmachta. Why? Listen to this Pirish Mishnah. Perik Beis Mishnah Aleph. On the Mishnah and Ovis that says, famous Mishnah, everyone knows, you should be careful with a light mitzvah just like you are with a strong mitzvah. Listen to the Lashon of the Rambam Pirish Mishnah. Mitzvah kala. What's a mitzvah kala? Mitzvah shiyachshu ba shehi kala. A mitzvah that you think is light. Kisimchas haregel, v'limud loshen hakodesh. That's the example the Rambam gives. Can you imagine? The Rambam had any mitzvah at his disposal to pick to a mitzvah kala, and he picked two mitzvahs. What's a mitzvah kala? Like the Rambam, simchas haregel, and the mitzvah of limud loshen hakodesh. And now, what's a mitzvah chamura? Milo u'pesach. Those are mitzvahs chamuras. That's the Rambam Perish Mishnayos. So says the Tartimim, Mevor Midvarav, Shirak Hanoshim Hamoinim Mechashim Mitzvah Lima Lashon HaKedosh Mitzvah Kala. We see from over here that it's only the light-headed people who don't realize the chashivas of this mitzvah called a mitzvah kala. Avu be'emes he mitzvah kashah mitzvah chamuris. Avad it's like any other mitzvah. Very kala loisa yachar mitzvah simchas haregel. And the Rambam lumped it together, the mitzvah simchas haregel. She mitzvahs say, derech gemura mehatera. No one goes around saying there's no mitzvah of simchas haregel. So, to me, a very good question. That the Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam is really the one Rishon in the entire sugya who Taka says Mefurish that it's a mitzvah. He doesn't say Mefurish, he says it in a roundabout way. But from the takeaway from the Pirush HaMishnayos, you see that he looked at this as a real mitzvah. So, if that's true, why doesn't he write in Yad HaChazaka mitzvah sasei lomonis b'nei Lashon HaKodesh? Very strange. So how do you make heads or tails out of this? So says the Tertimima, Vafilu inema das machti. Let's say you'll tell me it's an asmachti. It's not day rice. We call mock and me gar me adrosh vidibatabam kasach si chaslon over basay. Why isn't it different than another? Gemara makes a drosh. Says in the Tari vidibatabam talk Tari. So the Gemara says kasach si chaslon. It's Gemara in, I think it's in Yuma. Kasach si chaslon, right? Yuma, okay, good. So, over basay. I think Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu never spoke si chaslon his entire life. He only spoke the Tari. It's a but at least it made it to the pages of the Gemara. So why didn't Vidibar Tabam Mitzuva Lumid Loshan HaKodesh make it to the pages of the Gemara? The Kavua Poiskim Halacha, and that's brought down the Halacha. Umikol Shekein Davazeh Shechazal Dvaru Eimim Bokim Bovel Fanei B'Sifri. He says, if you remember, you guys all remember the Sifri, the strong Loshan the Sifri used, and if you don't teach, it's like you're burying your son, Rechman Atlan. How could this not make it to the pages of the Poiskim? Ulechein Hadover Tmua Mo'oy Sheshmituzeh. Therefore, says the Tetmima, I don't get it. I don't understand why it's not brought down. So we have a very simple answer. Our answer is because it's not brought down in the Gemara. But our Tetmima didn't have that answer. Because the Tetmima Lushitasi felt that it is brought down in the Gemara. The Tetmima told us last time that even though it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara, it's Kilo Nichtav the Gemara. So therefore, the Tetmima was saying to himself, I don't get it. I have a Bavli, Sifri, Tesefta, Mishalmi. Why does no one bring it down? Lushitasi, according to us, it's not a Kasha. Because we have a Mefurish Gemara in two places, it doesn't bring it down. So Machloek is Bavli and Tesefta. We don't like the Bavli, no problem. But the Tartamima himself was taka very bothered by this kasha. So if you take a look at 17, we'll go a little out of order. The Tartamima answers his own kasha. Why taka is an brought down? So he says an interesting terrence. He says, "V'ulai svulei de mitzvah meheg is rak b'Eretz Yisrael." Maybe this whole mitzvah of teaching your son Hebrew is only in Eretz Yisrael. U'be'eshi Yisrael shruin alav masan. And the Jewish people live in the land of Israel. But today we live in Golos. What does he mean? So Parshat Pshat, I thought he meant practically. The kid lives in Israel, teaching him Loshon HaKodesh is not so far-fetched. A kid lives in Nevardik, where his father was the rabbi, where maybe he grew up. It's not so practical to teach him multiple languages. The problem with that is, again, if it's Taka Din Dairaisa, what gives you the right to make such chiluk?
In the times of the
Tanakh,
very few people spoke Hebrew.
Exactly, right. Exactly. That's in the Mishnah of the Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayos. That Rambam wasn't even written in Hebrew. It was written in Aramaic. Right? So you can tell me, the Rambam who wrote the Chashivas of this mitzvah himself didn't speak Hebrew.
After the Bay Rebbe had to
teach. Right. So it's very... So I don't understand good what the Torah means by this term. Right, I think... He makes it like a mitzvah fully barred. So the only thing I could think of is just from a very practical standpoint, because he writes... I'm not sure if the government's going to get upset if you speak Hebrew. I don't think the government cares what language you speak. But maybe it just means practically. Just take a little kid. Right? You take a little kid and ask him to speak multiple languages, even though they say that little kids have the best chance to pick up languages. When they're younger, their brain is easier to develop it. But I partially don't know what he means. These are his words. I'm not hiding anything. That's what he says. I don't know what he means. And what's more troubling is, if you assume that it's Taka Din Deraisa, when do you have the right to make such chalukim like this? Didn't they write? The Torah doesn't say when we were. The Torah was given. We don't believe the Torah is only given for Eretz Yisrael, unless the Torah writes before Rish Yeshiva, whatever. The Torah tells us. Right, we have a Mishnah. Right, call Mitzvah Tluis Baris. We have Mishnahis like that. We have Gemaras like that.
Stuff like
right. You have to have some form of a drasha, some form of a reason. You know, just to say this svar. Okay.
As I was going to say, from those who bring out in the yard, but only bring.
He doesn't. He doesn't get around that. He's bothered by that. That's very troubling. The Rambam alludes to it in the Pirush Mishnayis, but again, he had a chazaka and makes no comment on it. But take a look at the summary. This is the summary Rebbe the Olim should remember when they learn Chumash in Chumash and Rashi. Very important summary Rebbe. Zog the summary Rebbe. Ula halacha. Kivan shahariv v'harosh v'haramam behil chosel. Right? The Satmar Rebbe knew the Pirush Mishnayis also. The Rambam in halachas, i.e. Yad HaChazaka, v'ator v'ashulchan aruch, v'l'chol moisei kaleihem, kulam kosmu rak halosh and hashas. They only quote our Gemara. Sheshmitu es limar halosh. They leave out the din of teaching him Hebrew. V'hiskiru mizeh klau af beremez. They don't even give you a hint that you have to teach your kid Hebrew. Bevada shechiru kein halachas, she'en shem chiv v'mitzav limar halosh. There's absolutely no chiv or mitzvah to teach your son Hebrew. V'en kushi aleihem. Mashu neged has sefri vatisefta. I fact the Samar Rebbe the Tartamim is kasha the sefri that they sefta. Says the Samar Rebbe shavi kasev yushami v'huva b'rash bam zechas baba basra ein lemidim loymin halachas v'loymin atisefta elamin agemara. Says the Samar Rebbe, what are you bothered with? You have to, like Michael said, you mishubit to every sefra every tisefta mishas. We mishubit to the Gemara. Almost usually mishubit to the Gemara, but there's no Gemara that says anything, and therefore says the Samar Rebbe, I have no problem. I fact the Satmar Rebbe. If you guys remember, 2 weeks ago we started off with Rashi and Parshas Akev. Rashi and Parshas Akev quotes the Sefri that you take have a mitzvah to teach your son Torah, and if you don't teach your son Torah, it's kilo kavrei. Rashi goes to it in a chumash. So what do you do with that?
What do you mean Beilin said Belashon Hakodesh?
Yeah. Rashi quoted word for word. Take a look in the handouts that we gave 2 weeks ago. Rashi says word for word Parshas Akev. So fact the Satmar Rebbe, what do you do with that? So most of us, when we come across a Rashi and chumash that brings down something, we think it carries weight. Now, truth is, we had a halacha on this topic a few weeks ago where we talked about the idea of buying and selling to Jews over non-Jews, which is always a very touchy topic. So we pointed out that that's not found anywhere in the Gemara, but it is found in Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Parshas Bahar does bring down that he's supposed to, this din that's found in the Mechilta, that he's supposed to dafka sell to a Jew and not to a non-Jew, even if it's maybe going to occur a loss. Ayin Sham in the Shir, we spoke about Arichas, the rules. But we said, it's Rashi and Chumash. So we thought, even though it's not found in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not found in the Rambam, it's not found in the Torah, not found in the Rosh, but it's Rashi and Chumash, it should carry some weight.
Right.
Okay, keep it better. Right. Here's better. Here, there was an obvious omission. Okay, right. Correct. So says this. Exactly. Says this. Rebbe, you say to remember. I don't know who this is. The Habez and the Bez. The Dape has Sefer, she's a Darkish of Rashi. After the Gemara, maybe a Pirush, a Yosef Pashut. Rashi's job is to bring the Pashut Pshat. After less Hilchos Hach, even less not Aloch. Maybe Kama Raya Sedover, Bechen Kasev Haradvash, Shekal God will be there. The Rashi Parshonu, but Loi Pascha. Rashi's an explanation. He's not a Psak. Bechen Kasev Kama Poiskim Kenadua, U Befrat Berashi Al Atayr. First of all, he's saying this even Rashi on the Gemara. Many people say this, that Rashi on the Gemara will be a steer in two sugis, because his job wasn't to tell you halacha, his job was to tell you how the sugi reads. That was Rashi's agenda and Rashi's purpose. I had to steer it to another sugi, because in that sugi, the sugi read differently. Rashi's job was to tell you how to learn that given pasuk, a piece of Gemara. Therefore, says the Samar Rebbe, b'fat Rashi al-Torah she'nochitz yoyis l'pshuta shal-mikro v'loy halacha, v'al koponim kan sharif, v'harambam, v'arosh, v'ator shachanar, kulam shovin, shalai kasukein b'vadeh hu ikol halacha. So says the Samar Rebbe, if I have one side of a Rashi and Chumash, and I have Hashmotas of all these Gedalei Apaiskim, that's going to be my Hachro, that's going to be the way I come out. So according to the Satmar Rebbe, he obviously sees no Halacha Ma'aseh purpose in teaching Hebrew. Tartamim was still left off with a Kasha, with a Teretz, but in Einu Re'inu, that in most of the yeshivas today, they don't teach Ivrit be'Ivrit, but there are still some schools that do it, and they're saying Mechmustam on the Sifri and the Tesef.
Is this the everyone
holds
that Rashi doesn't really have an opinion about that.
Yeah.
I don't think
Rashi would agree with that. So, usually, Rashi not use the halach. Rashi has a separate sefer. Rashi has a separate sefer where he does quote halach practices. But usually, the Rashi on the blot is very rarely used in the signoin of halach olamais. Usually not.
Right.
Granted, the Ramah will bring in a Rashi here and there. But the Shulchan Aruch will never bring the Rifter Ram and the Rashi. The Ramah will bring in occasionally a Rashi, but that's a Rashi that's quoted.
And Rashi and Chumash be passing?
No, that's what we're saying. So we don't pass on Rashi. Yeah. That's a Chiddush. That's what Samar Rebbe is pointing out. Right. He's not having the Gemara. Right. Exactly. Yeah, the famous one everyone knows about is with Tefillin, right? Rashi's Tefillin is a Beit HaTam Tefillin that everyone knows about. That's one of the unique ones that we tackle, follow Rashi's Sheet Al Halach all the way through. Okay, let's go to the other page. Source 17 and 18, it's connected to the last sugya, then we'll go back into a new sugya. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph. that the Satmar Rebbe referenced, that we should really read carefully. It's actually a beautiful Gemara from Mechanchim, or people that are trying to raise money for yeshivas. It's a very important Gemara, but it's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara is in Baba Basad of Chafal. I'm sorry, it didn't come out. It's on Chafal from Aral. Says the Gemara, the Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav Broim Zocher Oiso Ish L'Toyu. This man should be remembered for good. Who's this man? Says the Gemara of Yeshua ben Gamlo Shmoy. His name is Yeshua ben Gamlo. What did Yeshua ben Gamlo do so special? Says the Gemara, Shel Moli Hu if not for Nishtakach Toyim Yisrael. Torah would have been forgotten from the Jewish people. What does that mean? Torah would have been forgotten from the Jewish people. Says the Gemara, Shebetchila, the way it started off, Mishi Yesh La'av, Malam the Torah. Someone had a father, his father taught him Torah. Misha in Layav, and I never didn't have a father. Loy, Lama Torah. He didn't learn any Torah. He sat, did nothing. My Darish, where does it say in the Pasuk? Vilimadatem Oysam. It says in the Pasuk, you should teach them Ulimadatem Atem. So they made some Drasha that only the parents, you, the parents, teach them, but no one else. Now,
so then why didn't it say without the Vav?
That's the Drasha, because it says without the Vav. I think.
Why? It says Limadatem Atem?
I think sometimes, if you look up the Pasuk, what does it say over there? Is it without the Vav? Is it with the Vav?
I remember. With the Vav.
I have to look it up. Yeah. But the problem with this Gemara is he's quoting the Pasuk with the Vav. Right.
No, yeah, that's what I said. He's quoting the Pasuk with the Vav. That's what I'm saying.
He dashes it. I think he dashes it. Sometimes it's without a Vav. There's a drush over there. The problem with this Gemara is it's against the Gemara Kedushin. What did the Gemara Kedushin tell us? You have to learn himself. So what do you mean the Yisrael? Every kid would have to figure out a way to learn. So I guess you're going to have to learn the Gemara. The Gemara was just very nice. The kids have to do what they just weren't doing it. Very nice. Tell a 13-year-old what he has to do, see how far that gets you, right? Good. You tell them, you know, you have to learn Torah. The kid says, what do you want me to do? I'm ignorant. I don't know how to read Hebrew. Leave me alone. So the Gemara says, Torah was forgotten. What happened? They put yeshivas in Yerushalayim. My Dorish, when you learn from the Pasuk, he mitzien teitzit Torah. But die, so he gave the same problem. He had yeshivas in one part of the world. But die, mishi yeshloi av oyo malo malamde. So the father would bring the kids up to yeshiva. Mishi en le'av oyo velomat. They'd make yeshivas in every city. He'd go to yeshiva when he's like 16 and 17. Says the Gemara, Misha, he a rabbi, cost a lot if the rabbi got mad at him. Mabit Baviyos, he'd kick him and leave. Which means at that age, I guess it's a bad time to start education because the kids are not really so ready to be in school. He instituted yeshivas at a younger age. Every city, every town, every village had rebbeim starting from 6 or 7, and this way Torah was always niska. Yeah, that's the other Gemara Ksubas. So, Frekta Bochon and Vasim, the Gevalda Kakash. Frekta Bochon, number 18. He said, I don't understand. Misha in la'av lo'yo yiloy mit? What do you mean? Mikosho. Hoksivishi nantam lovenecha elu atamidim shekriyim bonim. Frekta Bochon, what do you mean? There were no yeshivas? It's a Gemara. The Gemara makes a drasha. Vishinantam lovenecha elu talmidim. So, how do you have talmidim if there's no yeshivas? If the only relationship there is via father and son, so how do you ever have a mitzvah of having talmidim? So ask Rabbi Chana. I mean, again, the Gemara sounds like that before Rabbi Shimon Gamlo came to town, who lived according to the Satmar Rebbe, he lived after Korban Bayis Sheni, after Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, there was only fathers and sons learning. What do you mean? There's a pasuk in the Chumash that Chazal Darshan is referring to a talmidim. How do you ever have talmidim? Says Rabbi Chana, right?
But then you have this
Right. So where does that leave us? Right, so what do we do?
Well, it appears without the Vav.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, I'm not crazy. Okay, thanks for someone. It's without the Vav. Says Zokh Rabuchon and Givaldi. Says Rabuchon and Givaldi Keteretz. Yeshloim edivadei b'shoshik v'ahu talmid of mikri b'noi. Avo kozman shloim lomad lefaninu adayin eina b'noi, v'einichayv la'asoyis yishi b'noi. Zokh Rabuchon and Avad. Once I start teaching you, now you become my Talmud. But I'm not mechoyv to chase after you to make you my Talmud. Are you like those people who want to give shares so people will listen to them? So you're not mechuyif to do that. I'm not mechuyif to go rile up the kids and say, come learn in my classroom. Once the kids show an interest, they come sit by me. Good. Now they become my talmidim. Now I have a mitzvah to teach them. Abu Zokta B'chon, that din of talmidim is only after they already become talmidim. It's just a little catch 22 over here.
That's because it's the Rebbe.
Right. The father has to run around and sit the kid down and tie him down to the chair. The talmidim are, once you show an interest, you want to learn by me, so now you become my talmid. But I have no chiv to run after you. So all those kids who sat in the house, they said, we're not coming. So the Rebbe sat in his classroom by himself. The Gemara is not a kash. Okay, let's start a new sugi over here. Number one. Talk to Gemara, turn Rabbanon. Who lil moid u benoy lil moid? Another very difficult shtick of Gemara. Says the Gemara, let's say the father wants to learn and the son wants to learn. They both want to go to yeshiva. But there's not sufficient funds. Who gets to go to yeshiva? So on one hand, the father has a mitzvah to learn Torah. Mitzvah Shein, the father has a mitzvah to teach his son Torah. So who gets the right to go to yeshiva? Says the Gemara, who lomar ibnoy lomar, who koydim lobnoy. So he goes before the son. The father gets to take the tuition money and the son stays home. The father gets to go learn Torah. Yehuda says, depends. Im b'noi zaris u'memulach v'tamudei miskayim b'yodoi. If the son is taka quick and he's memulach, whatever that word means, and v'tamudei miskayim b'yodoi, he'll be more successful than the father. He's taka sharper and brighter than the father. Says the Gemara, then b'noi koydim. Then the son goes first. Shaz, what's going on over here? What's the machloikis? What's the shaila? What's the svaris? What's the story over here? So the truth is, there's samazei machloikis Machalikis Achrayim, is Rabbi Yehuda arguing on the Tanakam, or is Rabbi Yehuda merely explaining the Tanakam? Right? When I read the Gemara, the feeling I got was that Rabbi Yehuda was arguing. Tanakam says, "Who koydin lebnoi always, no matter what."
There's rules about that. It's Bamed Var Mamurim.
Yeah. No. There's rules. So the Kesef Mishnah talks about this in the Rambam, because the Rambam seemed to have passed on like Rabbi Yehuda, that if the son is taka stronger than the father in learning, then the son goes first. So the question is, does that mean the Tanakama disagrees on that? Again, Poshim Shat in the Gemara, it sounds like the Tanakama says the Benoit is who Kaidim of Benoit always.
And practically, at 6 or 7 years old, he's stronger than his father.
Whatever else. Well, obviously, what does it mean to be stronger in learning? It means you're smarter, you'll have better ideas, you'll get better test marks. The father will get a 95 on the test, someone will get 100 on the test. Right? You know, what does this all mean? But the way I read the Gemara, Kipshuta, was I read the Gemara, that the Gemara was Takam Achoikis. Now, the Shaila we need to get to, what's the Svaras over here? What's the svara of Benoit Koidim? And what's the svara of if the son is sharper, he goes first? Let's just finish the story. And the Gemara tells us the story. Kihod Reb Yaakov, Reid Reb Acha. Just like Reb Yaakov, the son of Reb Acha, Bar Yaakov, Shadri Avu Lekamei Dabaya. So Shadri Avu Lekamei Dabaya, the father came before Abaye. He also, when he saw Chazie, he saw his son, Delay Hav Mechad Nishmaiti. The father showed up to PTA, and he saw his son wasn't that sharp. So Amalei told the son, Ana Adif Minach. I'm stronger than you in learning. Kovat, the Ozel Ano. You go home and I'm going to go to yeshiva. And you can imagine that happens at PTA. The parents show up to PTA. They see the kids not doing it. They tell the Rebbe, okay, fine. You know what, Rebbe? I'm going to go send my kid back to work. I'm coming to yeshiva. I'm going to join you. Okay? So the Gemara says, we'll finish off the second half of the story a little bit later. But the Gemara says, Abaye heard about this and Abaye thought that the father was Taka Choshaviyah. But the point of the story is, says the Gemara, that the son has the right to go first, assuming the son is going to be stronger than the father. The moment the father saw the son was slacking off in yeshiva, the father said, no, I want to go to yeshiva. And that was the story. The shayla is, what's going on over here? So if you look in Rashi says, what does it mean, Imahay b'noi zaris? V'ha'av royeh shi'atzliach mimen. And the father sees that there'll be much more hatzlacha from the son. There's not enough funds for both of them to go learn. So then Yilmud Benoit, the son goes learns. The father goes to work and supports the kid. So learns Rash. Now, why Taka should the father go first? The father has a mitzvah to teach his son Torah. The father has a chiyuv to teach himself Torah. So why should one trump the other? What's the svar of the Tanakama? Tanakama says he goes first. So Zok the Sefer HaMikneh, number 3. If you remember, we had a Gemara on Amud Aleph in Kedushin. The Gemara had a Shaila. If you have your own Pidyon HaBen to do, and you have your son's Pidyon HaBen to do, which one goes first? So the Gemara said, that's a no-brainer. If you only have 5 Shlam available, then you go first. Why?
Gemara said, you go first,
the father does his own Pidyon HaBen for himself, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's paid to his son. So the Gemara said, a Svara called what? Mitzvah de Gufei Adif. Everyone remember, the Gemara said the svar called mitzvah de gudah.
I said the mitzvah on himself is to do the...
No. He had a mitzvah to be paid himself.
His father had that.
No, that's not the way... Who was that Rishon that we quoted? I can't remember. That's not the way the Ramah brought down from the Rivash. Okay, the Rivash. Right? So take a look at the Sefer HaMakna. Talk to the Sefer HaMakna. Nira. The Nafkalei Rabbi Yirmiyah. How did Rabbi Yirmiyah know this? May the pligle come on who know my Rabbi Luma from our Gemara. I mean, Rabbi Yirmiyah told us in Amar Aleph that the mitzvah is gufei adif. Who told Rabbi Yirmiyah such a svar? Says the Machne, he learned it from Ar Gemara. What does it say in Ar Gemara? Ar Gemara has a shayla who gets to learn Torah first. V'svir le Yehuda d'imahay b'noi zaris m'moloch mashma d'imahay shave. Says the Sefer HaMikneh, you see from Rabbi Yehuda that the only reason why the son goes first is because the son is better. And let's say the son wouldn't be better. He says even shave. Let's talk about machloikis apayiskim. If the father and son are equal, not better. What happens if the father and son are act? Again, today everyone knows no such thing as equal. No two people are really equal in anything. But okay, let's assume they're both averaging the same grades on the test. So who would then go first? So the Sefer HaMakdeh says, he sounds like from the Gemara, that they'd be equal. Then who koidim, he still goes first. Why? The mitzvah de gufa adif. Because we have a svara called mitzvah de gufa adif. V'hani trei mili d'loftoi so ulam de mashma didin echolem. She mitzvasim ala aviv mitzvahs b'nai Allah. He has two things. He has a mitzvah for himself, and he has a mitzvah to do to his son. And yet we see that the Gemara says the svara mitzvah de gufa adif.
It's not two different mitzvahs.
Ah, yeah, yeah, explain.
It's his own mitzvah, but the son's is a teacher, the son's is a totally separate mitzvah, it's not based on learning, it's not a parallel mitzvah in a way, because it's like there's a chiyuv, there's a tibur, but it's separate and apart from learning.
Okay.
I mean, so why would that come into play then? Why would it's not like, okay, you have presented with two mitzvos, similar mitzvos, or exact the same time. Okay, so then you go first. But here you have, at the same time, have two chiyuvim.
Because two separate independent mitzvos. So the truth is, in Birka Shmuel, or Baruch Ber Klai Zachakira, quotes from his son, Lord Reuven, who Taka has such a side that he thinks that the mitzvah of Limo Teru Benoi has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Talmud Teru. It's like irrelevant from the mitzvah of Talmud Teru. It's a separate chiyuv that you have to, which we'll develop a little bit more today, just make sure Torah is learned. But it's not so much like a mitzvah Talmud Torah Shabbat. The Pashas, we would assume that there's two different types of mitzvah. There's learning your own Torah, and there's teaching Torah to someone else. But it's all under the greater Torah experience. The problem that I have with
Does anyone say that besides the reason a mitzvah should be gufo is out of a chaybaham?
Very good. The Moshe Feinstein says that. The Moshe writes like that. I didn't put it on the page. The Moshe Feinstein writes like that. Chayecha koidman, you always have to take care of yourself. The problem with that is, the whole sugi in the Gemara was dealing with these types of shayles. Pidgin Aben. Yeah, so Chayecha Koidman is
because, no, but here, without Torah.
Right, that's what Moshe writes. Right, Moshe writes that the Torah is not just a mitzvah. Torah is right. Yeah. That's what Moshe writes. He writes like that in the Dibros. He writes like that in English. Moshe has such a mahalach like that. Yeah, that's Moshe's mahalach in the sugi.
Where do you see that as an inherent importance, the quality of your brain?
Ah, good. We're going to get to that still today also. Very good.
One's a smarter guy, the guy not so smart.
Right, good.
So what? They're both studying that hour.
Since when does the Torah care about how successful you are learning? It's like saying, we're only going to teach Torah to guys that are going to be Magid Yeshurim, right? We only want to produce future Rosh Hashivas. Guys are not going to, we don't work like that. Torah is the, so what's the svar over here that the sun is stronger? So we'll have to see. It's a good kasha.
The time
so
out, sure,
exactly.
More
he gets more sky, right?
So stronger in F.
Correct. So it shouldn't be outcome.
Yeah,
so we're gonna get to.
A lot of guys on the Gimel Shir, but he's serious.
Right, guys, putting in, if it's minutes to hours, that's what the Torah cares about. The Torah doesn't care about which guys are gonna become a Magid Shir. So we'll see. A big chiddush. We'll see from Ramesh Salavechik how to explain this sugya. But let's just talk about this machneh for a second. The Sefer HaMakdeh that bothers me a little bit because by Pidyon HaBen, you could say such Torah. Why? Mitzvah Shabugufe meant I have a mitzvah to redeem myself, and I have a mitzvah to make sure my son gets redeemed. By mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the mitzvah of teaching a son Torah, those are exactly the same mitzvahs. It's not the pshat. By Pidyon HaBen, we had a chiddush from Rivash that really it's the son's mitzvah, but the father gets stuck with it to do it. So you can say the Talmud Torah is the same thing. I don't have an egg in a mitzvah to teach my son Torah. I have a mitzvah, really my son's mitzvah to teach Torah, and I just get stuck with the job. Because if you don't say it that way, then they're no longer parallel. By Pidyon HaBen, the svara, the way that we learned the Rivash was that I have a mitzvah to be part of myself. That's my mitzvah. That's what mitzvah of Gufa Odif means. I have my egg in the tziva me'ezek kodesh baruch. To be paid to my son is not really my mitzvah. It's really his mitzvah, but I get stuck doing it. That's how we learn to rivash. Then the svar of the Gemara makes a lot of sense. One tziva is a direct tziva me'ezek kodesh baruch that I have to be paid to myself. The other tziva is I have to be paid to my son only because my son can't be paid to himself and I'm functioning as an apotropos. So that becomes a lower level mitzvah. But how does that work by Talmud Torah? I have a mitzvah to learn Torah and I have a mitzvah to teach my son Torah. Aren't those both direct tzivoyim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Unless you say that by Talmud Torah is the same longest. It's not the pshat that I have a mitzvah to teach my son Torah. The pshat is my son really has a mitzvah to teach himself Torah, but he's 5 years old. What's he going to do? So therefore, I have a mitzvah to teach him like an apotropos. I didn't think we assumed like that. I think we assume Talmud Torah is a separate chiyuv that the father has, like he has a chiyuv to do anything else to his son. So if that's true, I don't understand why mitzvah to gufa plays a role. What mitzvah to gufa? Because it's on your body that makes it a more chashuv mitzvah.
Does a child have an obligation at the age of 6 or 7 when the father would start?
Machalik is
that's what it's totally.
When the father's not around.
Totally
correct.
If he does not have the opposite,
correct.
Then it's no opposite.
Correct. You have to say that all connects to the sugya by Pidyon HaBen.
By the way, didn't we say by by Mila, if, let's say you have to do Mila on your son, didn't we say you go first also? Didn't we have that case?
Mila, the Gemara never talked about by Mila.
No?
No, not by Mila. The Gemara talked about by Pidgin Aven.
Pidgin Aven, never talked about Mila.
By Mila would be the same Shiloh.
Right, that's what Mila, I was going to say. It should be the same.
To work it out. Okay.
But maybe it is qualitative different mitzvah. This is the gufa, let's say, like tefillin. I can't appoint a shliach to do it. I'm less of a bialim over that.
Correct. Answer. That's the way they explain
so,
it.
So then if I have to do it, I have to do it. I can't defer to my son if I have to do it myself.
So here also.
I'm a Torah. You can appoint a shliach to do Talmud
Torah. Learn for you. You can appoint a shliach to teach. No, but we're trying to explain why your mitzvah Talmud Torah is called mitzvah begufa. So that's what you want to learn.
All right.
So Seth wants to say that's trying to say from Akhenaten. Not the way we were learning it with the Rivash, that mitzvah begufa is your tzivui versus your son's mitzvah, which is outsourced. He wants to learn that mitzvah begufa means a mitzvah that I can't pass on to someone else. And I can't have someone learn from me. We'll talk about it in the Tuesday night show about Yisachar Zvulun, but the pashtus is someone really can't learn from you. You have to learn yourself. But I could have someone teach my son, kipshuto. And therefore, that's what it means mitzvah begufa. Mitzvah begufa means a mitzvah that only I can do. Only I can learn Torah, but someone else can teach my son Torah. So maybe that's what the Sefer HaMikdim means. I mean, he's comparing it to Pidgin Aven. So I was just thinking in terms of Pidgin Aven, but maybe he means a different lumbus. Maybe it means but that would mean, but that would get stuck with the Shiloh if you could do Pidgin Aven Adei Shliach.
That's right. He's
so you're suggesting that Pidgin
whoever said the Gufo, that's right, then you can't do it.
So you would assume that you could be part of yourself Adei Shliach. Can't be part of yourself Adei Shliach. We'd be able to be part of your son via Shliach. Right, but that the way the Rivash set it up was the other way around. But again, you'd have to take the Kamoy Pidgin Aven a little bit looser in his translation. Okay, so that's why I'm shot in the Gemara. The Mabit in Kiryas Sefer has a second shot. The Mabit writes, probably should have put the Mabit first just because he was significantly older than the Sefer HaMakneh. The Mabit lived in the times of the Beis Yosef. He was on the Bezin together with the Beis Yosef Cairo. So the Mabit writes in number four, what's Pshat? He says, you know why? Says a Mabit, it's a very practical answer. The father starts off with a chiyuv to teach his son Torah. What do you want the father to teach? He doesn't know anything. So you send the father to yeshiva. He comes back knowledgeable. Now he can teach his son Torah. What we call today killing two birds with one stone. Why?
Who's the sharper one?
Good. So we're going to have a kasha. With any pshat we're going to say, we're going to have the kashas. And so what? Who's sharper? But we'll plug that back in. But let's just work developing this for a second. So the Mabit Svar seems to be a very practical Svar. The father goes first because the father comes back home and then he'll teach the son. Very practical. What's going to happen? The son's going to go to yeshiva, come back and teach the father? It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it does. A lot of times kids come back from yeshiva and they educate their parents. It's practically very beautiful. A lot of times the kids come back from yeshiva, the parents say, don't be familiar with me. That's always a bad recipe. And don't tell me what you learned in yeshiva. I also went to yeshiva. I know more. I all these different stories. But it's never a good idea. The always best idea is always to say, oh, terrific, fantastic, new education. That's how we grow. That's how we become better. Who's? The problem is, what's he supposed to teach? How much can he teach if he doesn't know? Right? He's very limited to how much he can teach. So if a Zakti Gemara, let him go to yeshiva. Let him learn. He'll come back and he'll be able to teach.
That's not a mitzvah Talmud Torah. That's a hefsim mitzvah. You can explain it that way.
Wait, which mitzvah?
The father learning Torah is not a mitzvah Talmud Torah. He has to learn in order to teach his son.
He still has the chiyuv. But we spoke about this with Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov said that even if you're learning Torah to know how to learn halacha, that's still not considered hefsim mitzvah. Right? The Biskurov says it's hefsim mitzvah. That's a famous Biskurov with women. But here, the father has a mitzvah to learn Torah and to know Torah. So when he learns Torah and knows Torah, he'll then be able to come back and teach the son Torah. He'll be able to get everything.
By the way, would this be the same thing? As far as, let's say here, it's talking about with money. How about with time? Because I they once had a Q&A with Rav Asher Weiss, and I asked him a question. I have an hour in a day. My wife wanted me to learn with my son. What's more important? Should I learn what I want to learn myself or with my son? And he's asking that I should learn what I want.
Today we have yeshivas. The whole thing's different.
No. You mean this is if you, that's
yeah, that was learning? It. Today, it's a time to tell you, send your kids to yeshiva.
No, but is this considered your only learning or an addition?
No, this was it. This is all the guy was learning.
Oh, that's
this
it.
Guy wasn't opening an art scroll and listening to why he taught throughout the day. This is it. Whatever the Malamed taught, this guy was all he knew. A different world. So let's see. So look at this. I came across a sefer called the Terasa Yehege. You can obviously know what the sefer is going to be written about. He tells us a story from Reb Chaim, Chaim Brisker. He says over here, I am the sefer as the current Eish Talmud, Omud Shin Sadi. Shehuva b'maisa rav me'agayin b'chaim brisk. U'maisa hoyu b'brisk, shayi melameit sheyocha lomoid le'echad oy la'av oy le'bnoi. The story, a melameit can only teach either father or the son. U'shneim hoyu tzricham lam, they both needed a melameit. You know, back in pre-Holocaust Europe, everyone thinks that everyone knew Shas and Shulchan Aruch on the streets. So not true. It's not even close to true. Very few knew that much, but a lot of people were Amoratsim. They were simple farmers. Fakaret, until the Daf Yomi hit, which was not till the 1930s, there was really nothing. They were Tehillim Zoggers. That's why they had more Amuna than all of us, because we don't think we need to have Amuna because we learned Torah. They had simple Amuna because they knew they didn't know anything. So their whole life was saying Tehillim, Takosh Baruch, and Hashem shall watch over them. Today we think we learn enough Torah, so that's enough of a Shmir. It's a whole different mindset. They had much more Amuna than we have, but there's much more Torah today than there was in pre-Holocaust Europe. But the father needed a Malamed, just like the kid needed a Malamed. So they went to Reb Chaim, Uposek HaGarach, Shaben Hu Koidim. The son should go before the father. Even though the father was talking much smarter and sharper. So the kasha they all asked Reb Chaim was, so how can you pass him that the son goes first? It's against the Gemara. How could Reb Chaim pass in such a way? It's against the Gemara. The only time the son goes first is if the son is much sharper. Here the father is talking very sharp. So why should it matter? So Reb Chaim told him a stickle tail. No. If the father goes and learns by the Malamed, he's only going to teach himself. Reb Chaim knew the father. He knew the father comes back, he's not teaching the son. Not the right personality, not the right whatever. He's not going to be able to give it back to the son. But if the son, that will continue learning. So I wanted to say Psha'am the story that loyd the ma'bit, this is very geshmak Reb Chaim. Why? Reb Chaim said, the whole milo of sending the son, the father over the son, is because the father will come back and teach the son. But if the father comes back and the son's not going to learn from the father, then why Taka should the father go first? That's what I thought Psha'am Reb Chaim's story was. If someone was to tell me Reb Chaim had such a ma'isa, I'd say, oh, Reb Chaim was going like the ma'bit. Because what's the whole milo of the father going first? Because by the father going first, I'll return, then teach the son. But if you know the father's going to come back and the son's going to stick his fingers in and say, I don't want to learn from you, then Taka, why should the father go first? So Reb Chaim Grad said it a little different, which we'll come back to. Reb Chaim said, it's not just a question of who's teaching who, is who's going to spread the most Torah. The father's going to come back, he's not going to teach Torah to anyone. Not to his kids, and not to the neighbors, and not to the people in shul. He's going to keep it to himself. But the son, he's going to come back, and he's going to give him shurim and drushes. So up to Reb Chaim, a chiddush. He says, V'hod isa b'gemara imhu roi tzalom adu koidim noi. Zehurakim yochalu b'taiti limsa lebonim uloderis haboim. That's a knesh, Reb Chaim adds. Not only does the father have to come back and teach his son, he has to teach future generations. Ki ikuchi of tamatoy hu lilmoid lelamid kedisa bahalocha mitzvah lelamid esatzmoy. Mashenkin sheikur achi of lilmoid. The kim shekain shaben yamshich atoy lederis hu koidim la. Reb Chaim stamazi has a chiddush over here. Chaim says it's going to depend on who's going to teach the most time. Even though the Gemara doesn't present like that. The Gemara says, if Yehuda says, if the son's smarter. Doesn't say anything about the son might be a super genius. He'll finish Shas 3 times in 1 year. But he'll sit in his corner and not teach anyone. Reb Chaim said, no, the mile is going to be who's going to be the one to spread the most Torah. What we call today, Habatz's Torah. Which again, where does that fall in anyway? Nope, so don't say that anywhere in the Torah. So let's go with the third pshat in the Gemara. The third pshat in the Gemara is the Shulchan Aruch Rav. The Justice Yard site last week. Last week was his yard site. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav is the third pshat in the Gemara. So far, we have two pshatim, and why does the father go first? Either because mitzvah begufoy, or because the father will then in return teach the son. Now the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Every father who spent a dime on tuition, and his kid was matzliach in yeshiva, so if, should remember the Shulchan Aruch Rav for the rest of your life. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav. It says, even if the father did not yet learn Torah, the tzarech lo moy la'atzmai, he needs to learn on his own. V'im yitre b'mizoynes, v'sapek v'tzarech ilimot b'noy la'yucha lomer la'atzmai. If he's going to then support his son, work all day long, so his son can learn yish Torah, so in benoy who novenu maskem asher yomad yosim in av hare limud benoy koidim lalamda. That's our Gemara, right? The son goes first. Why? Ki me'acher shebelimud benoy gam hu mekayim mitzvah shel teira kemoy limud ba'atzmoy. Moedik says the Shulchan Aruch Rav. When you send your son to yeshiva and he learns teira, you're also being mekayim the mitzvah of limud teira. What does this mean? What's going on over here? So it sounds like a shtick of yourself as one type of lumbus with your own son.
Well, maybe it goes back to the
client. Oh, very good. So we're going to see how this L'chayra connects to this L'chayra. Now, what I want with the Shulchan Aruch Rav is L'chayra to answer the bomb kasha on the sugya. What's the bomb kasha on the sugya? Whatever pshat you're going to give me, that why the father goes first, why does that change because the son's sharper than the father? What changes? If there's a din for mitzvah shebegufi adif, so mitzvah shebegufi adif wins always.
So now we understand why. Because
the teretz is, if you go like this, Shulchan Aruch Rav, now you understand. Why? Because once the son is going to be stronger, So now, not only when you are sending your son to yeshiva, are you learning? Your son is also learning, so everyone's learning Torah. The only kash on the Shulchan Aruch Rav is, besides for how it works alum, this is, so why is the father, why does the son have to be stronger? Let's say the son doesn't grow up to be a big Rosh Yeshiva, but he plugs away 20 hours a day sitting in his marriage. He sits in his corner, no one knows he exists. He doesn't give any fancy chaburas, he doesn't write up notes, he's not a chayzer, he has no title, but he sits in his 20 hours a day. So like the Shulchan Aruch Rav, in that case, no, then I, the father who's going to give a chabura to 10 Jews in shul, I go before my son. What's the svar? Oh, that's the question. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean by these words? The son's sharper, he's stronger. What does all that mean?
Those two words, what they literally mean.
So let's see. So take a look over here, number 7, the Sefer Sarasa Yeheger. He quotes a pshat over here from Rabbi Tzio Solomon. Taka needs a big refuah shleimo. He quotes from Rabbi Tzio Solomon, who quotes from Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik. That the whole sugya needs this knaves to masber everything. Right, really, what they were talking about was the Yisachar's vulnerable relationship. Which again, this Tuesday night, Mr. Shem will be talking about it from a halachic standpoint. It's not a fundraising event. Don't worry. We're going to be discussing Pashat, the musag of supporting Torah, its importance, and how it works from a halachic standpoint, strictly halachic standpoint. So he's bothered. How does this, you know, this whole thing work? And Mamela also asks for Moshe Soloveitchik, what's Taka Pshat in this Gemara that if the son is stronger? So he says a Gevaldik Yisoy, which I think is Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Look, he writes over here. He says, the Chenhevi Agoyim Matzio Salom Shlita B'Shem Agoyim Moshe Soloveitchik. The Chrichu came Mikol Yisachas Vul and Shehuva B'Rama. The Nechshav Loikiil Lomid Batzme. There's a Mordek Rama which we'll get to Tuesday night. Rama writes, when you support Torah, it's as if you yourself learn Torah. So if you have a guy who sits in an office all day long, you know, hedge funds, making a lot of money, supporting a lot of Torah, it's Kiilu he himself learned Torah for all those hours that he's supporting Torah. So Kash is, how does that make any sense? So we'll sleep in the other two tonight. I'm giving away the whole share. A beautiful mahal from Yaakov Kamenetsky. But Zokter Moshe Soloveitchik, a different shot. The behechrich, the mitzvahs, Talmud Torah, lo yirak mitzvah, she begufoi, lo lomdoi ba'atzmoi. A gevaldik chiddush. Says it right now. Moshe Soloveitchik doesn't say where he gets it from. But Moshe Soloveitchik says he is sorry. That the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not just you sitting and learning Torah. El yeshba gam chiv sha'al yoda yismale ha'oilom b'yidiyas ha'tor. Says Moshe Soloveitchik, this is the mitzvah from what we call today habatzis ha'tor. More Torah being spread in the world. And if you're the reason that that happens, yesh b'zeh mitzvahs talmud Torah shaloi. You get your own mitzvah of talmud Torah. Ki'ilu hu lomid ba'atzmoi. As if you yourself learn Torah. Therefore, Zokter Moshe Soloveitchik, that when you support Torah and Torah is being learned via you, then it's ki'ilu you learn. What do you mean it's ki'ilu? But I don't learn Torah. It's because talmud Torah is not like tefillin. Tefillin, you got to put on tefillin. If you don't put on tefillin, you don't get any credit. And again, if you cause someone else to put on tefillin, you don't get a mitzvah of tefillin. But when you allow other people to learn Torah, you get a mitzvah as if you learn Torah. Because it's not just about learning, it's about spreading the learning of Torah. So unbelievable yisoy. I don't know where he got it from, to be honest with you. It's a gevaldik yisoy. But says the Sefer, v'hachanami kein sha'idei b'noi hanovin yoytze yoytze Torah bo'ilam. So if the son is successful and there'll be more Torah in the world, because the son's going to be a magid shir. But the son will learn more. He'll be able to put more minutes to hours of Torah, which will then cause harbatzas ha-Torah in the world. And that's pshat in our Gemara. By doing so, even the father will be mekayim his mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the chayr, if you say this word from Moshe Soloveitchik into the Shulchan Aruch Rav, now the Shulchan Aruch Rav makes sense. Why? If I send my son to yeshiva and I'm causing him to be able to learn more Torah, i.e. more Torah being learned, right? Let's, for example, if I go to yeshiva, I'm going to learn 5 hours. My son goes to yeshiva, he's going to learn 12 hours. So right then and there, I just caused the issue more Torah to be learned in the world. Zokter Moshe Soloveitchik, that's a key of my egin mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So it's a fantastic idea. Think about it. So you send your son to yeshiva and he's going to learn more hours than we would. So all that time and effort that we put working to support that yeshiva is kilu we got tzchar from limud Torah atzmi. So we're saying that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not only you sitting and learning in front of a safe. There's another way to be kind of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah through what we call our butzah Torah. Right. Right. So if the son is not going to be any more productive than you, so
there's no way of knowing this. It's the book.
Right. So then why?
But then you have a two in one situation.
But only
always. You know, if you're able to accomplish learning yourself, and by teaching, by having
someone learn,
so now it's a two for one.
Correct.
Not that buzzer, so. The other way, if you do it only yourself, it's only one.
Right, that's Pashup Shah. So the cash that we have in the Shulchan Aruch Rav was, if you say that way, so why does it matter how how strong or weak the son is.
Right. All this is only one person.
Right.
Two can do it.
Avada. So we didn't get to it. The Meiri and the Rambam, all right, but Avada, there's enough time for both.
But then you're certainly getting more.
Exactly. Meaning Avada, even those who say, and this will go, we'll talk much more about Tuzan, even though we say Abbas's Torah is great, the Maaseh, if you can sit down and learn, it's even better. We're talking about when you can't. You can't be in two places at once. You can't be with a sefer and, you know, working your job. But when you're working your job, Zakhtu Maish Salvechik, to me, I found this when I came across this was Geshmak. It's all those hours that we have to work to support tuition. We hope that our kids can learn more than we could, you know, especially if you go, when the kids get older, they go to full-time learning. I don't know if all of us can sit for, you know, so many hours straight, but they can do it because they're in the zone. And that all their learning is taka attributed to us. Not stam, we get schar. We get ki'il lomdai. It's very empowering, I thought. But in lomdai, the kashas, where does he get this from? Where does it say in the Torah such a Muslim? Tavana Vase, where do you know such a Yisai?
Exactly.
It doesn't say that. I don't know where.
No, it never says the learned Torah.
Right. Right. We spoke about that. Right. The whole mitzvah of Vitzarasa Yeg is only in the Navi. It doesn't even appear in the Chumash. It's not very strange. So we had a possibility. The Gemara found the possibility that the man Yishmu, the man Yomudu is how you know you have to learn Torah. No, we found a pasuk earlier. But Rabbi Yaakov pointed out that pasuk is very much based on halacha lemaisa. That pasuk was learn so you should know what to do. So which is the guy learns krisus or menachas all day long, he's not being mekayim lo man lo mod lishmud. So okay, that from this is where Rabbi Salvechik gets from. But to me, this is a gavaldik yisoid, fits very nicely into Shulchan Aruch and Meila. The Gemara makes much more sense than Visa.
What, smoking pot?
Right. That's where Moshe's true.
That's legal.
Depends on the yeshiva, but. Okay, Rabbi Sir. Yeah.